We are happy to have Sister and Brother Joe Panucci with us, with brethren from Italy. And Brother Joseph has chosen to speak to us on faith and truth. Brother Joe Panucci.
Must apologize to brethren for not giving you the greetings and love of the friends of South America, so therefore I can give it to you now. Sister Lucy and I, we're very happy to be here with you in this blessed convention. Unknown to mankind throughout the world, yet beautifully revealed in the Bible, is the plan of God for the salvation and happiness of all the human race. The religion nominal system all over the world have lost sight of the true plan of God for the salvation of the human race. And they are attempting to accomplish something which has not been authorized by God, and which, therefore, will not have His support and blessings. When examining the viewpoint of the world religious leader, one will discover that never a word was said or written concerning the divine remedy for human ill, that remedy which was the theme of all God's prophets. The important consideration for us is that by divine grace, we have a sure and glorious hope, not only for ourselves, but also for the confused world. And as we see the violence and turmoils taking place all over the world, it is important and indispensable that we stay very close together, close to one another, in Christian love. We need encouragement over one another, and at the same time, we continue to pray for those who labor as one family to dispense God's precious word. And as has been said, true brotherly love is an essential element to cement the body members together. Not only in their mutual joy, but also in their mutual, in their communion of a suffering. One of the secrets of a happy Christian life is to have a faith and confidence and trust in the Lord. A faith in Him so strong and all comprehensive that no matter what experience may be, we know that nothing can touch us without His permission. It's not the case of a blind trust in the Lord in the sense of not knowing the ultimate purpose all the experience which He permits to come to our lives. To the Christians, He has revealed that purpose, which is but in us the image of the Master may be developed. In preparation for the blessed privilege of a reigner with him in his kingdom of glory throughout the endless eternity. Faith and trust are essential because with our limited comprehension and our short-sight viewpoint, it is impossible to understand just how this or that experience, whether of joy or sorrow, may be the best at the time. If we were the masters of our own destinies, so far as our day by day walk in life were concerned, we would probably change a lot of things. But in doing so, we would create circumstances and conditions which would be detrimental to ourselves as new creatures in Christ. How essential it is then to develop a complete confidence in trust in the Heavenly Father's care and to learn that His way is the best. And if sometimes it is difficult, His wisdom and love for us know that which will be the best, the very best for us. Running away from trials is not the answer. We must meet them with faith. If the solutions and profit is to result, it is by faith that we are able to say that all things work together for good for those who love God. With this conviction in our hearts, we can be in the storm and yet not lose our confidence and trust in the Lord. We can have that inner tranquility regardless of the storm of our life, even though they are raging all about us. It is to meet those experiences that every one of us many times has prayed, Lord, increase my faith. We know brethren who have demonstrated in every high and storm of gales that their anchor of faith can hold them within the veil. We have seen brethren who carry crosses far heavier than our own cross. But the Lord has ever even asked most of us to bear. We have seen them with the very least of the physical and temporal resources. And we have seen them ride up the storm with a peace that passeth all understanding. These examples, the example of these brethren, help us to strive for the same faith. These examples help us to understand that the trying experience of a life are for the purpose of consuming the dross, that the gold of our carat might be refined. Yes, our faith must be tested. It is the shield in the Christian armor. Our loyalty to the Lord must be put to the test in order to show the fullness of a consecration. In the Old Testament, we are given many wonderful examples of a faith in God. But one which is outstanding is the faith of the three companions of Daniel. When they were cast into the burning furnace, the three Hebrews were wise is not assuming too definite the manner in which God will help them. They had a strong faith in the ability of God to do so. It is interesting to note that the Lord did not prevent them from being cast into the fire, but His power was manifested by the divine presence with them. And that they remain unharmed despite the sevenfold heat into which they were thrown. And the Bible tells us that the king was astonished upon investigating to find that the only thing the flame had destroyed were the cords with which they were bound. And he was even more surprised to discover that whereas three individuals have been cast into the furnace, four were now to be seen walking about in the flame, the fourth being like the Son of God. In this, there is a wonderful lesson for the Lord's people today. Our Heavenly Father, it's not promised to prevent our passion through trials, and we are not to think it strange when He permits the flames to burn around us. Our confidence should rather be in His promise never to leave us nor forsake us, that He is our refuge in every present help in trouble. Applying the illustration, Peter speaks of the trials of our faith, which he declared to be much more precious than gold that perish, though it be tried with fire. God is the master refiner over a Christian carrot. And you can rest assured that He will observe the intensity of the trial, the intensity of the heat, to make sure that it is severe enough to remove the dross, yet temper enough not to injure the gold. You are the gold. Statements such as the one made by Peter should bring home to us with the blessed reality, with the blessed facts, that everything which concerns us is of even greater concern to the Lord. He is just as interested in our personal welfare as we are, and much more qualified to know what it is best for us. Our faith in God and His overruling providence in our lives as Christians should enable all of us to realize that nothing can touch us except by divine permission. And that many times our most painful experiences are actually by His appointment. If we can but have a confidence that this is the case, then our burdens and sorrow will be bear with greater fortitude. With reference to the Lord's feeling towards His typical people Israel, the prophet declared, "For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of His eye." What a wonderful promise it is. Then there shouldn't be any question that our Heavenly Father is equal of concern over spiritual Israel. And therefore enter into a share of whatever experiences, whether of joy or of sorrow. We firmly believe that faith has power. It can remove mountains, just as the power of God was used to create mountains, His power can remove them. And so also He has the power to remove our mountain problems from our lives. Only if this is His will to do so. He can remove them by taking them away completely, or He can remove them by giving the strength so we can live with our problems and above them. According to your faith, be it unto you. This is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And faith leads to faithfulness. We can rest assured that our Heavenly Father is too wise to err and too loving to be unkind. We can learn many helpful lessons pertaining to God's watch care of His people as we look back and see how He dealt with His ancient servant. One of these is brought to attention, Exodus 14:14, which is said, let us read it, the Lord shall fight for you, and He shall hold you peace. Here is emphasized the fact that the Lord is the strength of His people. The Lord is our strength. We must trust the Lord and let Him fight for us. This does not mean that we should ignore a good fight of a faith in which we are engaged as a soldier of Jesus Christ, because as He fights for us, the Lord has given us a part to perform. But in doing our part faithfully, it should be with a peace of heart and mind, a tranquility of a soul, an assurance that victory is not based upon what we can do, but what He has promised to do for us. And He will do if we let Him fight for us. When Moses said to Israelite, the Lord shall fight for you, and He shall hold you peace, they were in a very difficult situation from the standpoint of a human ability. In their march from Egypt, they had reached the Red Sea. The way before them was blocked, and the Egyptian army had closed in on them from the rear. Visualize 2 million people facing the Red Sea in front of them, and 600 Egyptian chariots on their back. Losing faith in the ability of their God to care for them, they became very afraid. They blamed Moses for leading them out of Egypt. For Moses was not disturbed. He said to the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The expression stand still simply means that they were quietly to rest in the Lord. Yes, their faith was weak. They had become fearful, nervous, and agitated. In that condition, they could not properly cooperate with the Lord. But Moses spoke to the Israelites that if they were to see the salvation of God, it was necessary for them to stand still, to be at peace, to rest quietly in God, in His ability to deliver them. The same is true today with the Lord's people. As individuals and as a people, we are constantly being faced with Red Sea experience, which tries our faith. And if in this we are to be victorious, we must trust. We must put our trust, our full confidence in the Lord. Never should we take a matter into our own hand, but we should always wait on the Lord for clear indication of His will. Those who do this shall renew their strength and thus be prepared for whatever they experience the Lord may choose for them. It is beautifully stated in Isaiah 30:15, which is said, in return and rest shall he be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. The Lord told the Israelites at the Red Sea they should go forward. From the human standpoint, it seemed it was impossible to obey this command. Yet this was the Lord's will. And when do they obey? The sea opened before them and they crossed in safety. All of us in our Christian life are confronted with the Red Sea to cross. And our deliverance depends upon trusting the Lord and obeying His instruction. We must trust Him and go forward. Brethren, if we wait until the sea becomes land, we'll never walk in it. Remember, if we leave the ship, as Peter did, and set our feet upon the waves, we can trust the Lord. Christ will be on your side. He will never let you sink. When our Lord told the disciples to feed the multitude with 5 loaves of bread, they did not question the Lord to say to him, let us first count the thermometer we have here. They trusted the Lord. In that distribution went on, the amount of bread would increase. Consecration to God does not mean the end of our problems. It does mean, nevertheless, that we endeavor to solve life's problems in God's way. And conscious of the fact that we are in tune with God, no longer aliens or rebellious, we enjoy a peace and tranquility of our hearts and minds. And regardless of the outcomes of the world events, religious and politically, God is in charge of the human destiny and will accomplish His purpose. Jesus enjoyed this wonderful peace of heart and mind and said to His consecrated followers and to us, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. This peace of God then is a part of the present inheritance over those who are fully devoted to do His will. Yes, there is a time in our life that we wish to change circumstances in our lives, thinking that we could serve the Lord much better. Even the Apostle Paul had this thought in mind, but he learned that the Lord's way for him was the best. You remember, at the time of his conversion, he was blinded. Later, when he met Ananias, the vision was partially restored. He did not regain his normal vision. He was afflicted with this handicap the rest of his life. And Paul referred to this as a thorn in the flesh. It is logical for Paul to reason that he could serve the Lord much better if his vision was restored. He approached the Lord three times to have the thorn in the flesh removed. But the Lord's answer to the apostle was, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul understood well what the Lord meant, and he responded by saying, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." In reasoning this matter out, Paul concluded that if he did not have this affliction, he might be exalted above a measure, and thus be inclined to trust in his own strength and ability rather than in the Lord. And this is the reason for many of the experiences which the Lord permits to come into our lives. He wants us to realize that our very victory, our faith is His victory, and that our very success and accomplishment should be a credit to Him. It is very easy to forget that He's fighting our battle for us in clearing the path through the Red Seas, which blocks our progress in the narrow way. So in His wisdom and mercy, He allowed condition to be such that we are continuously reminded of our need of Him. Yes, a thorn in the flesh which disturb us could be a number of things which our poor judgment, how a poor judgment would like to change them. It could be some disturbance in our own family, in our own class. From the natural standpoint, this could bring a turmoil of hearts, anxiety and sorrow. How our flesh would like to change a situation of this kind. Sometimes poor health may disturb our peace of heart. In such a situation, the flesh is quickly to say that probably the Lord has forsaken us. Oh, how the human mind is ever ready to fill the role of a Job comforter and try to persuade us that the Lord has turned His back upon us. But our answer to this will be similar to Job's answer to his accuser concerning God. What did he say? He said, "Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him." What a beautiful words. Yea, he tossed me while I tossed him here. Yea, he flayed me while I tossed him here. Let us remember, in every circumstance of life, strength will depend or will be found in quietness and his confidence. Not confidence in our ability to face the trials, but confidence that the Lord is able to make his grace abound towards us at all time and in every situation. As new creatures in Christ, we should always remember that our loving Father cares for us. His protection, his strength, that is made perfect in our weakness, and the final victory which has promised to give us through Christ are of all spiritual character. It is as a new creature that he keeps us from falling. It is the new mind that dwells in the secret place of his love. He is a rock and fortress in the inner man, which because of the bond of his grace is being renewed day by day. And this being true, it should matter a little just how our flesh may react, or what the national circumstance of our life may be. What really should concern is that God is able to hold us in the hollow of his hands as a new creature, regardless of the opposing forces which we may be surrounded. Yes, he can open the Red Sea for us. He can open the Red Sea before us, that we may walk safely in doing his will. With his love and the love of Christ above us, nothing can move us out of his hands. We will remember that before us as new creatures in Christ are the everlasting arms of divine grace of our Heavenly Father. Paul was persuaded that in all these things the Lord will be with him as an ever-present source of strength. And because of this assurance, he enjoyed the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Yes, Paul gives us a very complete procession of a Christian experience. But in the case you overlook one or more of the influences which tend to separate us from the love and to destroy our peace in him, he makes a blank statement to assure us that nothing in the world will be able to separate us from the love of God. He said, "What shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Do we believe that? I'm sure we do. Yes, God is for us. And with this blessed assurance, we can go forward in our march towards the heavenly Canaan with absolutely confidence and trust that in each step of the way we obey him. No seas of trouble can drown us, nor his will permit any of those storms of life to overwhelm us. His promise to guide us, to hold us, to fight for us, and to give us the strength. One more we want to ask. All we have to do is to stand still in the sense of not being fearful, no matter what the circumstances may be. And when he gives the command to go forward, we obey, knowing that he will lead the way and give victory to all who have put their trust and confidence in him. Brethren, it would be wrong to say that trials do not hurt. Yes, trials, they do hurt. And at the same time, we even cry out to the Lord to deliver us from them. But if there is no suspicions of rebellions against divine providence, and trusting in divine grace to help in every time of need, we will cheerfully endure our trials, no matter how difficult the circumstances may be. In the Old Testament, we have many examples of confidence and trust on the part of those whose fidelity to God was tested by the things for which they suffered. Outstanding among those is the prophet Job. His integrity was so deep-rooted that he was able to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. His courage to bear up on the suffering in the sense of not permitting it to turn against God was due to his understanding of the purpose to be accomplished. Even though his knowledge did not include an understanding of all the details involved, nevertheless, encompassed two important points. He was confident that God knew how much he suffered, and he was assured that his trial was accomplishing some great good for him. On these two fundamental points of knowledge, Job said, he knoweth the way that I take. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as a gold. We have another wonderful assurance from God, his angels, his secret agent. Do you know the United States, Russia, in many countries throughout the world, they have the secret agent to spy, to see what they can steal if they can, to see what the other country is doing. The Lord has his angels, his secret agent, to watch over you and me. Concerning this angelic agent, all the Christians, Jesus said, take heed that he despised not one over this little one. For I say unto you that in heaven their angel do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. It's God's angel have watched the drama of this age in this world arena. They have been commissioned by the Almighty God to watch every single Christian, every single consecrated Christian, they miss nothing. They say, watch every move that you and me make. And has been said, they never miss or any of the details of our earthly pilgrimage. This earth may be filled with tears of violence, but we can by spiritual visions lift our eyes and we will see the angels of the Lord who watch over us according to God's infinite wisdom as they prepare our welcome home. I have sensed the presence of my Christian life in different times. I'm sure you have also. The Bible teaches that the demons on the hands are dedicated to control this planet for the master Satan. He is the master organizer. Even Jesus called him the prince of this world. He controlled one of the most powerful war machines in the world. Every nation, every city, every village has felt the hot breath of his evil power. If he could, him and his evil agent would destroy every consecrated Christian. But he will not dare, to go near the saints of the living God. Notice what David said in the Psalm 91:11, "For he shall give his angel charge over thee to keep thee in all the ways." And again in Psalm 34:7, "The angels of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and deliver them." He must give the angels great satisfaction to watch over God's people and minister unto them the unsearchable riches of Christ, not just here, in every part of the world. And every Christian should be encouraged and strengthened and have a confidence and trust in all the promise of the Lord, and to realize that nothing can come to us unless the Lord permits. We must trust the Lord with our life, with our being, because he is the most powerful force in the world. I pray that the Lord will make us to understand how important it is, not just in the convention, but every place we go, that we have a powerful God in our Lord, and the angels of the Lord are always with us. And may the Lord add his blessings.
Thank you, Brother Panucci, for these wonderful words of comfort. We'll ask Brother Panucci to thank the Lord for the blessings of the Word and also ask a blessing upon our noonday meal.
Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, with grateful hearts, we come to thy presence to express our gratitude for the many blessings which thou always so graciously provide for us. We thank you, Father, for thy love, for Jesus, for our Master, our Savior. We thank you, Father, for the truth, which is precious to our heart, and for the brethren. We thank you, Father, for this convention. Bless each heart and our fellowship. Bless the lips, Father, of our brethren who will serve us in this convention. May we be receptive of hearts and assimilate in our life the message that comes from thee. Father, we appreciate the privilege of knowing thee, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the truth. And help us, Father, in our determination to fulfill our consecration and to let nothing stand in the way. We pray, Father, for our brethren throughout the world, especially for the ones that go through hardship. Once again, Father, we pray for the kingdom. Realize this is the only hope. And now, Father, we pray that we'll bless our meal and bless our fellowship with one another. These blessings and favors we ask them in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.